Let me invite you to stand with me and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, what a worthy goal is ours, to be like Jesus. And I ask now that you'd be with me as I bring the message this morning. Bless our people. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week when we met together, when we worshiped, we talked about the family of God. And what a rich inheritance is ours. And as children of God, we're going to get to share in that inheritance, not only as we journey down the highway of life, but when Jesus comes the second time. Oh, folks, it's an exciting experience to be ready for Jesus to come. With sanctified imagination, I see the mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare for me. And looking down, you know, walking off the sea of glass, into the gates of that city, with eyes undimmed, I can look 375 miles from north to south or east to west or whichever way we go in to the city. And then to see, you know, Al's place. I don't think it's going to be like that. Not Al's place. Al and Donna's place, maybe. But it's exciting, isn't it? Jesus is coming. It says, and Jesus says, in order to get you there, the one thing you must have for one another is love. And in fact, he stressed that he was so much concerned about that we would love each other. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the challenge was, or the challenge is that we would become that warm, loving church in which God is going to send his baby Christians, and that we would nurture them and guide them by his grace and prepare them for the kingdom of God. I want to conclude these four sermons that the same theme that has been woven through them. I want to conclude today with created to witness. Created by God to witness. Let me invite you to open your Bibles again to 1 Thessalonians. And I just wanted to review just a couple of texts that was there. Just want to refresh your memory again, because it is there that we would learn a great lesson from these people of Thessalonica. Starting in the 8th verse, and I'm using the New International Version, it says, the Lord's message rang out from you. Obviously, they were powerful witnesses, because Paul says, the Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and in Chasia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Folks, I like to think by God's grace that when Jesus comes the second time, and as we stand there on the sea of glass, or one Sabbath, you know, God, as a part of the special feature on Sabbath morning, he's going to pick out these faithful churches on earth. And he's going to say, the people of Aiken, South Carolina, they were a faithful people. Everybody knew about that little church. That's basically what Paul is saying about Thessalonica. But God is going to, as a special feature, he's going to say something like that. Or that's what I think. Verse 9 says, for they themselves report the kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serving the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, whom rescues us from the coming wrath. Paul is talking about these last days, the coming wrath, and Jesus is going to rescue his people. What a tremendous witness the people of Thessalonica were. What an example they are for us. Now, I want to move from being corporate, all of us together witnessing. I want to just zero in on us as individuals. Not only did God give us a message to share corporately, but he has given each one of us a message to share, and sharing that message is called witnessing, or giving your testimony. When you became a Christian, you also became God's messenger or God's witness. And you, as individuals, have a storehouse of experiences that God can use to bring others into his family. But if the devil had his way, we would be totally silent. Because God wants to bring others into his family, he speaks to others, or he speaks to the world through us. From 1 John 5:11, the Bible says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. He has this witness in his heart. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Now, folks, that's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty straightforward. It says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have it. Yeah. And we can break that text down very simply. This is what Jesus has done for me. I was convicted by his grace. This was what my lifestyle was one time. But by his grace, God rescued me. I have accepted him. The wonderful gift is eternal life. Your personal story or testimony is more effective than any sermon that is preached from a pulpit. Because you see, unbelievers see pastors as professional salesmen. But they see you as a satisfied customer, and they give you more credibility. You know, people love to hear stories. When I go out and visit, one of the things that intrigued Don and me is the fact that, how did you, come into the Adventist message? What is your story? Share it with me. And folks, when they share how God has moved upon their hearts and things that has happened, you can't argue with that story. You leave that home or leave that individual sharing their story, and you're on fire. You're excited for them to see the way that God has worked in their hearts. You know, when you read the Bible, some people think, oh, Paul, he was such a stuffy old fellow. He was a hard-headed old man. But Paul wasn't that way at all. In fact, Paul didn't always just, beat out Bible text after Bible text and put one text upon the top of another to build his logic and reason. And it was so overpowering that they automatically followed God. If you look in Acts chapters 22 through 26, on six different occasions, Paul used his testimony to share the gospel rather than quoting scripture. Amen. Let me suggest that you would write out your testimony and that you would memorize it. You know, I preached a sermon to the folks down in North Augusta last week. And during this week, I thought that I would take every opportunity to try to share my faith, not presenting any Bible text or any Bible doctrine, but just have an opportunity to share my faith or give a portion of my testimony. Yesterday, I was down at there's a couple of fellows up here on highway number 1, and they wash cars. So I took my car down to have it washed. And while I was sitting on a bench, another young fellow pulled in. He was probably 28, 30 years of age. He had this big, beautiful Chevrolet truck with big tires on it. And as we got to talk, he told me that he has a job. He works for the government, and he builds submarines and tanks for the military. Now, he don't actually build them. I'm not sure if he's an engineer, but he does something that he travels all over the United States and even goes to, you know, like Iraq or, you know, into the war zone, and he inspects these tanks to see if they are of a quality that would stand up under the rigorous, work that they put these things through. And he says that they can build a tank. I asked him, how long does it take to build a tank? 7 days. They can build, in 3 months, they can build a submarine. Did you know that? Now, that's just a haul. They do all, and what he specializes in is welding. He sees that these welds are made perfect. You can't have too much on one side and not have enough on another. So he inspects metal, and he expects the welds that people do. Interesting young fellow. Then it came around to, he wanted to know what I did. And I had an opportunity to share a little of my faith.
Amen. Good.
To introduce that person to Jesus and see that people who love God can be happy. So let me invite you to write out your testimony and then memorize it. Divide your testimony into 4 parts. I'm got ahead of myself. Divide your testimony, or your testimony should be the story of how you begin a relationship with Jesus. The second part of your testimony should be your life lessons, and I gave it to you in your handouts. The most important lessons that God has taught you. You know, one of the most important lessons that God has taught me, I was very impulsive individual as a young fellow. Oh, even now at times. Do you know I've just out of impulse bought 2 and 3 cars in a week's time? Now, what in the world can someone do with 2 or 3 cars in a week's time? See something and trade it off. Impulsive. Now, you're going to know about my weaknesses. Some may have problems with tobacco or, you know, they're closet drinkers when they go home at night. But I didn't always use God's money wisely. And I would buy automobiles. I guess I have bought probably 140, 160 of these things over this last 30 years. Now, most people can get away with, 3 or 4? I'm not a car dealer. What in the world would I need with all these automobiles? So the lesson I learned is to forget about being impulsive. I had to learn to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Phew, that was tough for me. The next thing your testimony should deal with is your godly passions. The issues that God used to shape you, or the issues God shaped you to care about the most. And I suppose for Seventh-day Adventists, there's no issue that we care about more than anything else is the Sabbath, or maybe our health message. You know, we like people, you shouldn't eat pork. That's what they know about us. You don't drink tea or coffee, and you don't eat pork. Now, folks, if that's all that your testimony is about, you're in trouble. But we are passionate about some of these issues, some of these Bible doctrines, aren't we?
Yes.
But we should also be passionate. We should understand the good news. We should understand the message of salvation.
Yes.
Your testimony is is your story of how Jesus made a difference in your life. Now, let me just go to 1 Peter. Just one from 1 Peter verse 2, and it just gives us kind of an idea about God's will for our lives. And remember, when you read Scripture, it is often the secondary application. There was an application that was for the people of that particular time, but God wrote it because they are enduring. It will last forever, and we can learn from these things. Now, Peter is saying in verse 9, but you are a chosen people. Was that only for ancient Israel? No. Was that only for the men in Israel? No, it's for the men and women, wasn't it? And it's for the men and women in our day. We are a chosen people. It says we are a royal priesthood. Was that only for the tribe of Levi? That's for us. Was it only for women? Or was it only for men? No, it's for men and women, boys and girls. As a part of the tribe of Levi, you see, there was families that was involved in it. It also says, we're a holy nation, a people belonging to God. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Folks, do we have a testimony? Do we have something to witness about today?
Yes.
Most certainly do. And that's why I encourage you to take some time, think about this, write out your testimony. Write it out, and then memorize it. It says, let me go right through it. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Folks, this is what witnessing is all about.
Yeah.
People should see our good deeds. They should see something different about us. And we should always be ready to say a good word about God.
Yes, amen.
Folks, witnessing. Witnessing is simply sharing your personal experience about what Jesus has done for you. Now, I don't want you to miss this. In a courtroom, a witness isn't expected to argue a case, prove the truth, or press for a verdict. That's the job of an attorney. Witnesses simply report what happened to them or what they saw. And we are what? We are God's witnesses. We are not God's attorneys. We were created to witness. Sharing your testimony is an important part of your mission on earth because your story is unique. There is no other story in all the world like your story, so only you can share it. If you don't share it, it will be lost forever. God created us. He knew us before we were formed in the womb. He knew what purpose He created you for. And folks, we are to bring God's pleasure. We bring God pleasure when we worship Him, and we bring God pleasure when we witness or give testimony about what God has done and His wonderful mercy towards mankind. Your personal story is more effective because unbelievers see pastors as professional salesmen, but they see you as a satisfied customer. That's why on 6 different occasions, Paul used his testimony to share the gospel. You can read it in chapters 22 through 26. He did not expound on Scripture. He just used his testimony. As I suggested, write out your testimony. Divide your testimony into 4 parts. What was my life like before I met Jesus? The second part, how I realized I needed Jesus. How I committed my life to Jesus, number 3. And 4, the difference Jesus has made in my life. Amen. You share that with individuals, they can't argue with you. Did I tell you about David yet? David. First time I met David, David is what, about 6'3", 6'2", big fellow. Probably goes 250 pounds, but he is well built. You know, he don't have no flab or anything on him. Very solid individual. David is a motorcycle riding, you know, hard case. David grew up in the church, but wandered away from the church and then came back, but just sat on the periphery. He would come to church, he would sit to see what people were doing, or just to have fellowship with the people. When David came to church, he came with black Levi jeans. He had a pair of boots on that went up to about here, and they had his motorcycle boots. They're real heavy things. He usually wore a black T-shirt with either a skull and a crossbones or some ugly thing on it, then with Harley Davidson written across the back. David wore little earrings. And of course, the people basically, I didn't say all the people, but some of the people didn't like David. Because David came to church. David was his own man. David sat where he wanted. David did what he wanted. David did it when he wanted to do it. And I talked with David. And I knew that I wasn't going to get anywhere with David. Not with my reasoning. But I began to talk about Jesus. In fact, I did a whole series on great moments in the life of Christ. As David would come and listen, Christ began to move upon his heart. Amen. You know, the first thing David wanted to do was tell the children's story. Now David would come and he would sit on the chair, and man, he is a giant fellow, and he would sit and these kids would just come around him, and for some reason or other he was like a magnet. These kids loved David, and you know that ticked off some of the saints. David was coming with black pants, black boots, black T-shirt, never wearing a tie. You know, his muscles was bulging out and showing. This was David. Tattoos. And of course, the earrings. Just little ones. That really got the saints. So they come and says, "Pastor, David can't tell the children's story anymore." I said, "Jesus and I are working on that problem." David continued to come to church. You know, it wasn't but 2 or 3 months. David strolls into church with Oxfords, black Oxfords, shiny. He had a nice pair of black pants on with pleats. Now he had a nice black shirt on with a tie. It was a button-down collar. He didn't wear a tie, but a button-down collar and short sleeves. Oh, he stood out. He looked so sharp. And do you know, it wasn't long before the saints could see the change in David, and they made him the head deacon. Folks, Jesus moves upon the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. But He uses us. And in us being like Jesus, we become a witness, a testimony to what Jesus can do. When you share your testimony, people's hearts are always subdued and they ask the questions. And you can continue now to talk about Bible doctrines. Why I keep the Sabbath the way I do. You can share these things with them. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, David was at prayer meeting. David used to come to prayer meeting. David came this particular night. He was on this big motorcycle. Oh, it just rumbled. You could hear him coming. When David left out of the parking lot that night, it went, you know, how that Harley makes it sound. He got out of the parking lot and he sped up. And some guy was drunk, came out, didn't stop at a stop sign, went through the stop sign, and David plowed into the side of him with his motorcycle. David said, I've had a couple of accidents on bike, but I knew this one was going to do me in. But he says, I prayed, and just before I hit, he says, I stood up, I held onto the handlebars, and he says, I did a complete somersault over the car, and I landed on my feet, actually on his heels, and he skidded, and he fell on his bottom, skidded along on the pavement. They called me I didn't know what happened because I left and went the other way, but when I got home, it was about 9 o'clock. They called. David was in the hospital. He hit an automobile with his motorcycle. I went up, and to be sure, he was black and blue. But by 1 o'clock in the morning, they took all the x-rays. They did everything. There was not a broken bone that he had. Just had a few scratches on his hands, and that was it. He gives God the glory. What a tremendous testimony. When he goes into an AA meeting and stands up and tells about what Jesus has done for him. Folks, he's moving on the hearts. He's moving on the hearts of people. Let me share with you, some of you may know Pastor Kim Johnson. Pastor Kim Johnson works for the Northern New England Conference. He is in the office. I'm not sure if he's the treasurer or under treasurer there. But he did a book dealing with witnessing, and for camp meeting time throughout the Southern Union, we have had Pastor Johnson. He has made his rounds here in this last 5 or 6 years. Pastor Kim, he remembers a Bible study came into the conference, and he decided that he would take this Bible study. So him and his wife went for the Bible study, and when they knocked on the door, the man came, and he discovered that he was a deaf mute, deaf and dumb, or, you know, couldn't speak either. And everything was communicated by writing it out. In fact, the father was deaf, the mother was deaf, and the two teenage daughters were deaf and dumb, could not speak. Everything was written out. So week after week, they would go back for this Bible study. And they were, you know, there was some apprehension there at first, but they were beginning to build a relationship with these people. This particular Thursday evening, the pastor's wife couldn't go, so he took one of the saints with him. They went for the Bible study, and everything went well. The pastor went through, you know, they did their lessons, and they would ask questions and pass it back and forth. He would write the answer out and give it to them, or have them turn to different Bible texts. But this particular evening, the lady did something different. She went into the kitchen, and she came out with a pot of coffee and some cookies. The dear saint thought it was his time to speak. He takes the pad and he writes quickly on it and he gives it to the lady. She picks it up and her countenance changes completely. She picked up the pot of coffee and the cookies and took them back to the kitchen. It was a couple of minutes, and she stayed in the kitchen, by the way. There was several minutes of awkwardness, and the pastor and the dear saint left. When he got in the car, he said to the saint, "What did you write on the piece of paper?" Well, he says, "I shared with her that drinking coffee was a sin, and we don't eat between meals." Now, let me ask you the question. Was the elder wrong? No. But could he have dealt with the situation in a more kindly manner? Yes. Of course he could have. But he was no doubt, you see, he was filled with godly passion and he wanted to share his faith. Notice what the text says in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that burns within your heart, but do it with gentleness and respect. You know, I was out just last weekend, I heard one of our saints from right here. He said, "I like to see jewelry in the church as well as I like to smell smoke on people in the church." And then he went on to explain what he meant by that, of course. You see, the church is a hospital for sinners. The church is a hospital for babes in the faith. It is our job to take them and nurture them and guide them. Folks, you bring a newborn baby home from the hospital, even the children understand this. You bring a brand new baby home from the hospital, you don't set before him a T-bone steak and potatoes and carrots. You give him the milk and he'll grow. We are patient with them. We say kind things to them. And they grow up by God's grace, knowing Jesus and being like him. As Seventh-day Adventists, we are filled with godly passion, especially when it comes to our doctrinal beliefs, aren't we? We want the whole world to know, but we must do it with gentleness and respect. Yeah. Telling others how they can have eternal life is the greatest thing that you can do for them. If you have a neighbor that's got cancer or AIDS and you knew the cure, don't you think it would be criminal to withhold that life-giving information? Yeah. Folks, it is even worse to keep secret the Sabbath rest, the judgment message, forgiveness, and salvation story of eternal life. But we can only share that message when the people are ready to receive it. Understand that they are but babes now, and we, as we share our testimony, share what Jesus has done for us, it creates an interest in them. They ask questions, and then we can share that life-saving message. Church, here's our problem. As long-term Christians, we forget how hopeless we felt without Christ. We must remember that no matter how contented or successful people appear to be, without Jesus they are hopelessly lost. Because the Bible says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which men should be saved." Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We must share the salvation story. But we must do it with gentleness and respect Everybody needs Jesus. Your witness has an eternal significance. Your witness will impact the eternal destiny of other people. It is more important than your job, your goal, your achievements, because the consequences of your witness will last forever. We have all eternity to celebrate with those who have been brought into God's family, but we only have a lifetime to reach them. Nothing else you will ever do is so important as helping people establish an eternal relationship with Jesus. Witnessing brings joy to the heart of God. But all your witnessing will not bring a person to Christ without genuine love. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. But the reason I stay in the family is because I and love. We must learn to love people the way that God loves people. Everyone matters to Him. When Jesus died on the cross, He stretched His arms open wide and He's saying, I love you this much. You know, you have read about or you've heard stories about parents that would run into a burning building to save a child because their love for that child is greater than the fear that they have. If you've been afraid to share the good news of the gospel with those around you, ask God to fill your heart with love for them. Scripture says the Lord is not slow in wanting anyone to perish, as someone understands slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but that every one of us should come to repentance. And by God's grace, I have covenant with Him when I go to the grocery store, when I'm at the dentist's office, wherever I am going to look for that opportunity to share my witness with others. And that they would know when I left that place. In fact, that man yesterday, when we were washing the car, when I was finished, he stood up and he shook my hand. He told me his name, although I forget it already. He told me who it was, and he says, maybe we'll meet again someday. Oh, folks, what are you willing to do so that people may go to heaven? Can you invite them to church? Can you invite them for lunch or babysit? Share your testimony? Give them a book or a Bible and study guides? Give them an audio or videotape? Pray for them every day? You know, when I came here, I was three things I asked you to do. Do you remember what they were?
Ask for a double portion of the Holy Spirit.
Double portion of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Number two, we wanted corporate and personal revival. And number three, we wanted ministry. Folks, what a tremendous ministry. And I challenge you today, every one of you live in your community, in the community in which you live. You don't have to say anything, but what I want you to do is you go for your walk in the evening, and every one of these houses, you pray for the people in that house. You don't even know them yet. You pray for the people in that house. And folks, God will change your lives, and He will change the lives of these people. Your mission field is all around you. Please don't miss the opportunities that God has given. Brothers and sisters, Paul said it best. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity and let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know you have an answer for everyone. Let me pose this question for you this morning. What kind of witness are you? Are you for God or are you against Him? Folks, if you're not standing with them, you're standing with someone. May God bless each one of us this week. And I gave you that sheet of paper. If you haven't gotten one, ask one of the deacons or Vince got them back there. Things that you should ponder this week. And it kind of gives an outline how you might put your testimony together. Maybe at a church service a little bit later, give you a couple of weeks to work on it while I'm away on vacation. Maybe we can have on a Sabbath morning as part of the church service, we can have someone come up at the front and we will interview them, give them an opportunity to share their witness, share their testimony with us. Would you like something like that?
Amen.
Folks, God can change our hearts. Let's have the right motive. Let's have the right focus. Let's close with hymn number... What's the hymn number? 457. I love to tell the story.